from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coach, was there ever any consideration to starting Drake May week one, or has the plan always been to try to ease him longer?
No, we always, you know, we kept saying, look, competition, and, you know, that is something that I truly believe in. And it was a real competition. It honestly came down, you know, to, you know, a few days where that separation started to happen. Now, the things that kind of went into that, you know, that pot as far as how we came out with this conclusion, I mean, there were many things that were weighted differently. And once again, you know, I just feel like, me personally, as the head coach here, that Jacoby gives us our best chance.
Jerod Mayo yesterday.
Best chance to what?
Best chance to, I don't know, keep Drake May healthy. That's probably his real answer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, while he's out there, that's fair.
It's hard to get hurt on the sideline.
Yeah, it is difficult to do that. It's hour two. Jones and Keith here on WEEI.
If you missed any of the first hour, Hunter Henry and Christian Gonzalez, right to the Electric Factory.
Yep.
It's on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to WEEI. And you can watch the interviews there as we gear up for week one. We know it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. How you feeling about that matchup, Keith? Like, getting beyond just the quarterback decision and getting more into the team in general. I mentioned off the top, I think announcing Brissett let the air out of the balloon for any hype, any excitement around the team. But, okay, that's their decision. We know what it is now. How are we feeling about week one against the Bengals in Cincinnati? Is that a winnable game?
Not really. I don't think so. I mean, I do think the best bet you have is sometimes these teams that on paper are a lot better than you and by the end of the season might have a significantly better record than you, you do see some of those upsets early in the year for whatever reason. You know, the team's not, you know, if Jamar Chase doesn't play, that's a big swing to me. I mean, you're one of the four or five best wide receivers in football is on the field versus if he's not at all. You know, Joe Burrow hasn't played a game in a while. Is there a little bit of rust there with Joe Burrow? So, I mean, I get sure, like, it's the NFL. Any game is technically winnable. Even bad teams, you know, what? How many teams have gone winless? Two, three, like in the history of football? So even if you're an underdog in every game, there's always big upsets in the NFL. So, yeah, I guess to talk myself into it, sure, it's winnable. But also, it's worth pointing out, it's the biggest spread on the board, right? There are 8.5-point dogs. That's the worst one by a couple of points even. Like, they're predicting every other game to be a little bit closer. It's in Cincinnati, if you want to add that little layer to it as well. So, no, this is a tough game for them to open the season with.
It is. You mentioned Chase. That does feel like a big X factor.
Mm-hmm.
Independent of whether he plays or not, what's he possibly going to look like? Like, what's he going to look like if he hasn't played at all? You think so?
Yeah. I think he and Burrow have that kind of chemistry.
They do, but there is a difference between playing shape and, you know, being in shape. And you see guys do this all the time where they hold out. They're not out there all offseason. They come back too quickly. You're popping a hamstring or something tweaks. Like, I wonder how much he can push himself week one. Now, he may not have too much against the Patriots. You mentioned it's the biggest spread on the board.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a lock. He comes back, and even if he plays,
no, he
looks like Jamar Chase.
Yeah, he saw the CeeDee Lamb contract, so he's waiting for that or something approaching that. I don't know. I go back to, and I know he wasn't a holdout, but Randy Moss didn't play in any preseason games in 07. He'd never played with Tom Brady before, and he showed up week one,
but
and
practiced.
He dominated.
He practiced.
Yeah, he did. He did practice, but he never played with Brady before. Like, Jamar Chase has played how many games with Joe Burrow in his career between college and the pros? So I think those guys are in lockstep. But then even on top of that, I don't know how many points this Patriots offense is going to be able to score. And I'm not telling you Cincinnati has this great defense. It's just what's really a realistic expectation for them to put on the scoreboard. Like, the offensive line's bad. The quarterback is very underwhelming. The receiving group is kind of eh. We got questions about the play caller, Alex Van Pelt, who hasn't done it regularly since 09. So they have so many issues on their own right that, no, I feel pretty confident it's going to be Cincinnati.
So how are you feeling about that matchup? 617-779-7937. We had a lot of guests in the first hour, so opportunity to jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get into a few other ideas related to the Patriots. Burt Breer had some details on Brandon Ayuk and the Patriots' offer for Brandon Ayuk, a few other items around the Pats as well. I found this to be interesting, though, and it ties in with the Bengals being, well, the biggest favorite on the board. And the Patriots being the biggest underdog on the board. I do think Chase playing in the game is probably better than not playing at all. Like, where you're not fully sure what he's going to be. Is he at 50%? Is he playing half the snaps? Like, I think if the Bengals know he's not playing, that might be better for the Patriots, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when it comes to all of these various positional rankings, and they come out, Mike Clay does this every year for ESPN. He has the Patriots 31st overall. In terms of talent.
32 teams, just for catch everybody up to speed.
He's got them 31. He's got the offense 29 and the defense 24. So interesting. I'm being told now we're joined being joined by Rob Ninkovich.
Oh, special guest?
Rob Ninkovich, hello?
Ninkovich, are you?
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? What's
you
up?
Sound much more pleasant than you did when you were threatening to fight Mac Jones. What was that about?
Dude, I wouldn't fight a quarterback. Are you kidding me? Come on.
No, you wouldn't fight him. You
get
would
out
slap,
of here.
You would slap the crap out of him, is what you said.
My dad always told me, you know, if you got an issue with somebody, you never strike because it could be an issue. You just embarrass. So that's like a slap. But anyway, I just was calling in because I know you had the Ninko clip on the impression, and you know, it's all in good fun. You know, Dan and Ninko, we just do a little podcast, have fun. And I guess my frustrations, and this is what the impersonation was, just at a certain point, you just want production. And it felt like it was just constant over and over, the same. So that's why this, you know, the next season, this next, like, regime of new things to come, I'm excited for Drake May. And I know everyone wants him to start week one.
You're getting Jacoby.
But, but you're getting Jacoby. But also, at this point, you have to make sure that there's a physical element to taking care of somebody, but there's also a mental side of it. So you want to make sure that that guy is in a good spot mentally, physically. And as a rookie, I can tell you firsthand, it's a really tough first year, and I can't imagine how hard it would be for a quarterback. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds. But at this point right now, I think Jacoby, you know, having the veteran leadership, put him in there. You see what you got. You're trying to shape up your offensive line. You're trying to create some type of new culture offensively, and we'll find out. But back to the Mac thing.
Yeah.
It was more so a response to my partner saying he didn't like me, which
so
as an adult
–
I don't think anyone cares if somebody doesn't like you, right?
That's true. Trust me, Jones. Well, nobody likes Jones.
No, that's definitely true. It sounded like you cared a little bit.
Yeah, but Jones, like, does it matter? You got your kids and your wife. Like, that's what matters. That's it.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Yeah, they don't like me either.
Yeah, but do you know Mac Jones? Like, does he know you not like you?
I don't. Okay. I don't. I have no idea. I just, because of the way that I was critical, which a lot of people are critical of performances, and when you watch football, and as a former player, you just see the issues that were there and, you know, the I guess, body language sometimes. And it just irked me a little bit, you know, especially as a defender. And, you know, I think that having a new start at that position was 100% necessary.
Well, if Mac Jones doesn't like people who are critical of him, there's a lot of people that he doesn't like.
Get in line, would you?
I know.
I'm curious about your process for the Mac Jones impersonation. Do you like method act that?
Yeah, you did that a few times.
Was that just kind of off the cuff?
Yeah,
like, because that is, I said this to Keith, that is an A+ Mac Jones impersonation.
I mean, I can do Bill Belichick too, but we won't do that right now. No, that was just off the cuff stuff, and it was the reason that I did that is because it was kind of the monotony of, well, you know, every day we're going to get better, and at a point where you just wanted to see something. And you think about the quarterbacks that I've – the great quarterbacks that I've been around. You know, Tom obviously is in a different level, a different category, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he was good.
He had that he had a craziness to him, right? A little bit of fire, a little bit of like, okay, like this is some serious stuff right now. And I feel like as a player, you're around guys, you can kind of, I don't know, you see it in practice, you get a sense for, you know, the demeanor, and at some point you got to have the killer instinct. And that's what to be great in this league, you got to have that killer instinct.
Frank Caliendo over here, Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah, seriously,
master of impressions.
What? Yeah, what other impressions do you have?
He does Matt Light. I've heard you do Matt Light before.
Matt Light,
yeah. Rob,
Matt,
maybe he's getting into character.
Mac,
he's driving under a tunnel.
Bill,
am I still?
Oh, you're here. We didn't hear you. We got you.
I thought Mac Jones showed up at your house. He's ready to fight you.
No, here's ready, Matt Light. Hi. I'm Matt Light, and I would go into like some type of commercial because that's the only time I hear him in that voice.
Any more than that, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I can't do that on a radio show because I don't know what type of endorsement you guys have right now.
That's fair enough.
Smart, appreciate that.
That's fair enough.
Company man.
Any message in case Mac sees this? You know, I used to talk to Mac weekly. message after your original message to Mac Jones? Any message to him?
No. I mean, my message to Mac was I said that in the pod. I said, I hope he has a great career. I hope he makes a ton of money. I hope he does great. But this is what the New England area needed to have such change. That's what we talked about, the whole change in culture. And I know that everyone thinks about the last 20 years. Yes, but there's been a five-year issue here. So trying to find the next quarterback has been the main thing. You know, I know Mac Jones had a great rookie season, but then things didn't work out. There was a lot of different things that had to take place for this team to move forward. And this year especially, you know, the defense is going to be great. You know, you hope that there's some progress here with some of the younger guys that they drafted. And the offensive line, you know, we're going to have to shape that up. You got a new coaching staff in here. And, you know, we'll see what they do this year. I'm optimistic that they can overperform for what everyone expects them to do this year.
All right, Rob Ninkovich, don't be a stranger. You want to workshop any more impersonations, right? This is the spot to do it. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
All right, thanks, all right. Rob.
Rob Ninkovich is calling in.
Yeah, so if you missed it, I think a lot of people probably saw it. We were talking about it a little bit. I think Greg's show talked about it a little bit too. But so he does a podcast, and somebody pulled the clip of him doing, not only doing a Mac Jones impression, but saying that he would like slap the bleep out of him.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. Coming in hot.
Yeah, well,
because normally he's not coming in that hot.
Well, he does the podcast with Dan O'Brien, Dan and Ninko.
Yep.
And so he does this podcast, and I guess Dan O'Brien made it very clear, Mac doesn't like you, Rob.
It's it was in response to
it's
that.
Not that he doesn't like us or our pod. He does not like you.
Think I'll smack the out of
he does not like
you. Yeah, he's aggressive.
Like you, he says. Yeah.
That's like game day, Rob Ninkovich. That's not like happy-go-lucky just on the radio, Rob
I did. No, for sure. I did like that Ninkovich is like, well, who cares? Who really cares if they don't like you at the end? Well, number one, it sounded like he cared
a little bit like you're mad. But.
And number two, he clearly does. He's like, well, you still got your wife and your kid at the end of the day. I'm like, they're not. They're not the biggest fans. It depends on the day.
That's true.
So, okay, what if we had to grade his impressions? Because the Mac Jones, I said, is an A+. So I already graded that one.
I've heard him do the extended Matt Light one before, and it's pretty spot on.
So what we got there, he goes, "Hey, I'm Matt Light,"
which is my favorite thing with impressions. I forget we were talking about this a while ago. It's like when you say the name of who the person you're doing.
I'm Matt Light.
It's me, Marlon Brando. Like, all right, you don't need to.
Okay, man.
Say the person, but I would go Mac Jones 1, Matt Light 2, Belichick 3.
Belichick at the bottom.
So Belichick,
because I'm just going off what I heard there from Matt. The Matt Light needed a little. It needed a little.
No,
more.
Trust me. The Matt Light's good. The Matt Light sounds more like him. The Belichick is good because he has certain phrases that Belichick would actually say from being in the locker room.
I think I heard Ninkovich bust out the Belichick last week.
Yeah, no, they're all good. I'm telling you.
Show, yeah,
he's a man of many voices.
Frank Caliendo, as you call
it. I'm Matt Light.
Pretty good. It's not bad.
I mean, well,
I'll do it again. Close my eyes. Let me close my eyes.
Yeah, try that again.
Good, yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the tunnel again, I think.
Yeah, if you could. Hi, I'm Matt Light.
That's Matt Light.
Perfect.
He did check out there.
We could
for a
use
minute.
That for ads.
Yeah, you could slap that on there.
I think you had it though. He's getting into character.
He's like, I gotta hold on a second.
Hang on.
Hold on.
Hang on. The regular Daniel Day-Lewis.
I wonder if he turned around.
Yeah, like, he turned
like, face away from.
Big breath out.
I need complete silence when I get into character.
I'll
Matt Light.
I think I can just flip a switch like that and be Matt Light.
It's pretty impressive.
No, I can't do that. Not a very talented
Dana Carvey, master of impressions. Wasn't that the turtle guy?
Turtle.
Master of disguise.
Master of disguise. That's what it was. It's not classic. Impressions. Master
not
of disguise.
Turtle enough for the turtle potty.
That should be our recommendation to Christian Gonzalez next week.
But next time you're on Netflix, just keep scrolling. Search Dana Carvey, just whatever pops up.
You got to see the turtle. The turtle impression is like
anything not Wayne's World.
Yeah, no, that's legitimately, those are great movies.
That's true.
I'll give them some deep cut Netflix pulls.
Nice.
Especially for October coming up, the spooky season.
Maybe.
They got some good stuff.
I mean, the way he's going, we might have a Ninkovich comedy special.
That's true.
Like just, you know, a man of many impressions.
You never know who's going to call in.
You don't.
Nope. Mac Jones will call in.
You know what? That one I would rule out, but let's see. You never know. He might want to respond.
Yeah.
Open forum.
We make him, you know what it is? He calls in every week. We don't know the impression.
Oh, so you guys guess who it is.
Right, so you guys
don't
know
who it is. Hey, who are we talking to this week?
So it's borderline like 20 questions with his impression on who it is. Nice. And at the end, you'd be like, oh, this interview was with?
Perfect. That's
it. Yes, hello.
Now we're talking.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
How hard was the push for Ayuk specifically?
Yeah, so my understanding is I'll have all the details on this in a column tomorrow. But if a deal had gotten done, it would have been for a 2025 second round pick, a 2026 fourth round pick, and Kendrick Bourne. And they had two proposals to Ayuk on the table. I was told that of the teams that were in this, they had the strongest monetary offers in just about every way. Hmm. They offered him a 3-year deal at $90 million. They offered him a 4-year deal that averaged $32.4 million per year. So, like, they offered him the shorter deal, which players usually prefer, at a little bit less money, but that was still at 30, which is what he got on a 4-year deal in San Francisco.
Do you know the guarantees on that? Or
I don't, but what I can tell you is I would just say, like, that generally the first 3 years of these deals are either guaranteed or virtually guaranteed. I was told flat out that if this was about the money, in just about every way, New England won.
That was Burt Breer with Tommy Curran on NBC Sports Boston over the weekend. More details on Brandon Ayuk and the Patriots' offer for Brandon Ayuk, who's back with the Niners. It's all water under the bridge.
Certainly is.
Trent Williams back with the Niners.
Where are they getting all this money?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, where all of a sudden did they find that in between the couch cushions?
They're like, all right, fine. We'll give you $120 million.
I thought I read this earlier today. The only holdout left in the league is Hassan Reddick with the Jets. I believe that's the only holdout remaining.
Well, Jamar Chase, right? Whatever that would be.
Oh, that's a good
What's
point.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Schefter. I thought I saw
Come
this
on,
in a Schefter tweet. That's a good point.
Take a look.
Hang on. How exactly did he word it? Because, yeah, we were just talking
about Hassan Reddick.
We were talking about Chase. Duh.
Well, because Reddick got traded,
Jets pass rusher Hassan Reddick is now the only player still holding out and away from the team facility. That's
because Chase is
Chase is there. That's
he's around.
Yeah.
He's kind of hanging out.
He's there. He's just kind of watching from the sidelines.
Like, what's my plan
his
here?
Weird sunglasses.
Yeah,
he's kind of doing that. So anyway, that was Burt Breer again with Tommy Curran. We're going to talk to Curran about an hour from now at 12:30. Who won't we talk to today, Keith? Like, honestly.
You never know.
Hunter Henry.
Keep
Christian Gonzalez.
Yep.
Rob Ninkovich. Mac Jones. Bill Belichick.
I could all call in.
Matt Light. Well, they all kind of were on that one call with Ninkovich.
That's true.
And Tommy Curran about an hour from now. So quite a list here today on the show. Ayuk, and I'll recap what Burt Breer said. It would be a 2025 second-round pick, so they weren't offering a first.
Yep.
2026 fourth-rounder and Kendrick Bourne, and they had the best monetary offer, according to Burt. Still no detail, no specific details on what they were offering in terms of guaranteed money. Does that make you feel better, worse, indifferent about Brandon Ayuk? Is it time to close the book on this whole discussion? Well, how'd you feel about that report?
Yeah, I mean, I feel based off of that, if they really were willing to give that kind of money, that's a great sign. Like, I just don't know. Like, they need to win one of these for me to know. Like, they need to actually sign a massive check to one of these receivers for me to believe it. Like, they didn't get DeAndre Hopkins, they didn't get Calvin Ridley, and they didn't get Brandon Ayuk. Now, the one thing that they have going in their favor is Ayuk maybe played this exactly the way he wanted to. He stays with one of the best teams in the NFL, and he gets his money. So even if he got a few more million dollars guaranteed to play in New England, is that really worth it over the course of 4 years to stay in San Francisco? So maybe the player ended up getting what he wants. I just hope that that part's true. I hope, because it really all came down to the money. A second, a fourth, and Kendrick Bourne, take it. Like, sure, that's for a guy like Brandon Ayuk. Smart that they wouldn't include a first, because that would be reckless. That would be a fireable offense if you included the first. So it's all about the money. You can either choose to believe it or not. I'd like to. Like, I think that's nice, but they need to sign one of these players before I really know for sure.
Yeah, and why am I giving them the benefit of the doubt, is all I would say. And I think the counterpoint to that would be, well, they have spent this offseason. They have spent. When it comes to guaranteed cash and total money, they have actually spent. They brought back all these guys. Now, there are no new players. They haven't upgraded whatsoever, in my estimation.
And not at premium positions.
Correct.
It's not top-end money at quarterback.
Safety.
Yes.
Guard.
Safety.
Running back.
Tight end, even. Like, I need a wide receiver, quarterback, which right now you don't have to do that, right? You drafted one, so that's fine. But quarterback, wide receiver, corner, and pass rusher. Like, those are the ones, and left tackle. Like, those are the ones you have to spend significant money at. They haven't done that yet.
And, you know, they do have to spend. There's you know, rolling floors you have to reach, and, you know, minimum thresholds you have to reach over periods of time. And so they spent in 2021. They spent this off. They didn't upgrade their team, but they spent this offseason. And it's a good point by you. They're not even spending at premium positions for wide receivers, for quarterbacks, for cornerbacks, players like this. And so I just wonder if they had to reach a certain number and contribute a certain amount of cash this year, and this was their way to do it. And I don't know that they've changed their ways, and I still don't understand why there's no concrete detail. Like, Burt has concrete details on the draft picks.
Yeah.
He has concrete detail. It's Kendrick Bourne. So where's the concrete detail on what they were offering in terms of guaranteed money? And why wouldn't Brandon Ayuk take that money? Why wouldn't players take that money? They all took it in 2021 to come here. That wasn't a Brady thing.
Well, like, how much more do you have to pay to get Ayuk? Because if you're Brandon Ayuk,
yeah, what's the tax?
Yeah, like, there's got to be something to go to a bad team with an unsure quarterback situation, and you're leaving a team that is a Super Bowl contender, and you're also, I mean, some guys would die to be the number one option. Other guys might say, you know what, doing pretty good, knowing I got Debo on the other side. I got McCaffrey. I got Kittle. Like, I just led the team in receiving yards last year. And so he ended up getting, what, $76 million guaranteed.
$120 million
is the total of the deal. We kept hearing $32 million average annual from New England. It was $30 average annual in San Francisco. But again, it's all about the guarantee. So I don't know what it is, but even if it was $80 million, I'm going to the Niners.
Yeah, it's not enough for you?
No. $4 million in Taxachusetts? Like, I don't think
that's a good point. We gotta see those California taxes. But yeah, I
think he'd be miserable here.
I just can't imagine if they had the best offer monetarily and it wasn't close. I just can't imagine a player doesn't take that. And if he's willing to hold out, and I get you can compete for a championship in San Francisco, but right, you could go be the number one.
Mm-hmm.
You could, and the coach and quarterback situation here is not ideal.
It's not.
Especially week one. It might be better by even week two with Drake May, rather, and Jacoby Brissett on the sidelines. But I just can't imagine it's so bad guys won't come here. I have to think, until I see real figures, I have to think that's why guys aren't coming here, because they attracted almost zero outside free agents this year.
None. Antonio Gibson and Austin Hooper, like, they got nobody. So I still think it looks worse that you weren't able to spend a little bit more for DeAndre Hopkins a year ago or Calvin Ridley this year, because those guys were free agents and they ended up both going to the same team, but it's a team that's not great. It's a team that is better than you, but like you're going to Tennessee. Whereas like San Francisco, I could see him like being like, I want to stay here. I got to play it a certain way. They're not willing to give me this contract, but I need to at least put it out there. The agent talks to Cleveland and Pittsburgh and New England, try to drive the price up a little bit. Although, by all accounts, they didn't really drive the price up. They just kept it the same. This is what the original offer was, but he ended up settling for it. But because if you're Brandon Ayuk, you don't really want to play in New England. So if you're going to play in New England, I think – I don't know, $86 million, $90 million? Like it would have to be a ton guaranteed over what you got in San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess my feeling, and we disagree on this, my feeling is they're not missing out on players because guys won't come here. They're missing out because they're not willing to extend for some of those premium players. And, you know, furthermore, if you're talking specifically about receivers, I am worried how many are actually going to hit the market.
I think some people or some players might not want to play here. Like, I think Andy Hart, when we were doing a show a few weeks back, was referencing like Matthew Stafford, like it was like on a no trade list, like not going to New England. Like I think certain players, like it's funny, Gerard Mayo today, his sell when he was on with Greg and he was talking about like this is a place to play if you love football, and his next line was there's nothing to do in Foxborough except play football.
He's like,
and I'm like, that's the worst sales pitch of all time.
Yeah, nothing to do but play football and
like
get
football.
Better.
They all like football. You can like football, love football, and be involved in football anywhere.
Yeah, work on that sales pitch.
It's a terrible sales pitch. And now the team is bad.
Also, the Crafts don't want to hear that. They're like, we built all of this stuff in and around Foxborough, Patriot Place. There's nothing here, Gerard.
Nothing. There's nothing there. Like he basically was
you insulted your boss and prospective free agents. Not a great line.
It's like playing for the Edmonton Oilers or the Ottawa Senators. You don't want to play here or Winnipeg. So That's not a great sales pitch. So I could see certain players in the league being like, no, I'm not going to go to New England. As long as the money is somewhat in the ballpark. I'm with you. Like once you are willing to be far and away the most the highest contract, then yeah, I would think 90% of guys would take that. But I don't know how close it really was. You know, I mean, Bert said they had the best deal, but 77 would be the best deal over 76.
Right.
But, like, I mean,
and we're,
it's not enough.
We're how many weeks away, and he's got all these concrete details on the trade, but not on the money. So
yeah, true.
The team doesn't, the team isn't putting that out, and why aren't they putting that out, and where is that figure? When I see that figure, minutes reported, and they had the most, and I get what Bert's saying. Look, most of these deals are guaranteed through 2 and 3 years. Most of that money's up front. Yeah, most of them. What about the Patriots one?
Do you think
what about some of these Patriots offers? Because they also play a lot of games in these contracts.
Is Ayuk's agent not putting that information out just so, like, hey, I don't want to burn a bridge. I don't want to work with those guys again. Because you could also even sell it to the fan base in San Francisco and be like, he didn't even take the most money. Like, he wants to be here.
It's true.
You could go that route. Or maybe he had this X number of players and he's like, all right, I'm not going to really put that out there because then maybe the Patriots will be pissed that I said that. But yeah, I am a little bit surprised that we haven't gotten concrete numbers yet.
Well, and it just speaks to they didn't have the best offer. To me, that's what that speaks to. But you guys can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Do guys want to play here? And did they before Gerard Mayo's pitch earlier today here on WEEI? If you were listening to Gerard Mayo this morning, perhaps you heard some of the leads on the Greg Hill Show. We hit misleading each and every day at 11:45. Greg is, he thinks Taylor Swift is ruining the NFL season. Let's get into why next.
I think it's been cool to see the girls and the women that have really embraced watching football. And I know being a girl dad, how cool it is for me. Yeah. I mean, to see like these little girls, these daughters, and how much they're loving and spending time with their dad watching football. And then meeting Taylor and realize how genuine and cool she is. She's really interested in football, and she asks a lot of great questions. She's already drawing up plays, so we might have to put one in. In the street, that's a knockout. But you
say it in a tweet, that's a cop-out, and I'm just like, hey. That was Patrick Mahomes with Chris Sims, I believe, is who he was talking to.
All right.
Discussing Taylor Swift and her impact on football and her impact on the Chiefs.
They were going to split. That's what I heard. Taylor and Kelsey.
Oh, you heard rumors about that?
Yeah, well, that's what my wife told me, but I was like, I don't know.
Oh, I thought this was like another Keefspiracy, hashtag Scoops Keef.
Oh, no, I have no
breaking news.
On this. I have zero inside info on this, but is it going to be another full year of like the full court press where she's like the most popular player in the league, or do you think it's going to be less? But now you're already talking about her drawn up plays, so maybe it's going to be more.
Okay, you have to think it's going to be less than last year.
It
but
can't be more.
It's worth getting into here on Jones.
It's either equal or less.
You can dial us up 617-779-7937. This is misleading. We do this every day at 11:45. Brief look at something discussed on the Greg Hill Show that we may agree
or disagree with. Greg says Taylor Swift already ruining the NFL season for him already by drawing up plays.
Yeah, she was difficult to avoid last year. I wasn't like up in arms about it. Like there were some people that are like that really thought it was
ruining my Sunday.
Yeah, did not ruin my Sunday at all. But it was like every single. Whatever, you know, network had that game would just, like, lean into it, like, way over the top. And I know she's very famous, but a lot of players have, like, famous wives and girlfriends, and you wouldn't even know. Like, a lot of times you wouldn't know. Even, like, Giselle, as famous as she was, they'd show her occasionally.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor Swift was, like, in and out of every break. It was, like, nonstop. Like, hey, guys, it's the Taylor game.
Well, and it was, like, the entrance to the stadium. Who's she bringing with her pals?
Yes.
Who else is in the booth? Who's she hugging? Who's she high-fiving? Who's she doing this with? Who's she doing that with?
It helped the ratings, right? Like,
seems that way.
TV went up. And
so, she's, I mean, look, she's super famous.
Famous.
Obviously. But last year was, like, the year of Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, a Michael Jackson Thriller kind of year. Right, where it's just like you're this mega celebrity at the peak of your celebrity.
Right, right.
That was last year for her. Right, she doesn't have.
I know.
She have more room to go up.
I don't know. I mean,
no.
You think that's it? Now we're waiting for the fall.
How do you get bigger
than
that?
You're calling a fall now?
Prediction: Taylor Swift over the hill. No, and I like her work. I like the new album. A little long, too many songs for my taste.
Wow.
But I like
it. Pretty busy. You don't have time.
Yeah,
to listen to all these songs?
Here's what I don't like. I don't like that you come out with a whole album, you release it, and then there's like secret tracks after that. Where now it's like I already listened to the album, but now you're telling me there's even more. I got to go back and I got to listen to it.
Yep.
So it's a bit much for my taste. Like her work.
Okay.
Fan. She's a brave, strong woman, Keith.
Oh, here we go.
But when it comes to, she can't be more famous than last year, right?
Yeah,
she can't be more popular and more in your face. And so.
And I also wonder, is Kelce going to come down a little bit? I keep waiting for Kelce to kind of crash. He's never crashed.
He's got 100 mil. Oh, you mean like.
No. He's super famous and all that. He's going to be an actor and he's doing his podcast. No, I mean, like, are there going to be games that she's at and it's like. There's one catch for 13 yards for Travis Kelce.
I don't know. I think he's going to be.
He's still really good.
Yeah. He was awesome in the playoffs last year.
He's awesome in the playoffs. Yeah. Regular season, there were definitely times where you're like, he's a little slower.
He started hot. That whole offense crashed in the second half of last year.
Yeah.
And then they figured it out again in the postseason.
You know, he lit it up in the postseason. And he's such a strange guy because he's not the fastest, and yet he's wide open every single time.
So do you think she's really drawing up plays?
I think it's. Like half true. I bet she probably like jokingly came up with something because Mahomes didn't make that up. Like I think she probably did.
Hot route, red seven.
I don't know what hot route is. Yeah, maybe she's drawing up a little something. She's like, why don't you guys do this? And Travis's like, yeah, sure. It's like I'll let Patrick know.
Yeah, I'll pass that on.
I mean, see Mahomes in the preseason. He's throwing passes behind his back, so I think
they'll
take anything.
Here's
like, whatever
the thing: they are good enough where. She could draw up a play and they'll be fine. Nick, you mentioned this before the show. They were doing like the ring around the rosy play in the past. Like they've
she could script
they
the first 10.
The huddle and do little spins to the line of scrimmage.
Right. Like they need fun stuff
this is
like
choreographed.
That.
It's like Larry Bird playing a game left-handed. They're bored at this point.
Right.
So like what else do you have?
Taylor script out the first 10 plays.
Sure.
Lanny, you think Mahomes is lying, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's something that just kind of came up in the conversation.
You
honestly think she's got her college rule notebook. And drawing up these plays.
She's written a lot of lyrics on said notebook. I can see her drawing up the X, the Y.
You want to tell me you're writing
the
songs
X,
about
the Z, vertical routes.
Thank you.
I don't think she's presenting one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I'd be like, I got
one of the
play
great
for
teams.
Presenting it to Travis Kelce, who then brings it forward to the team.
Yeah,
right?
At what point is Travis like, can you stop? If that's what she's honestly doing, I can't do
this. This is probably why he brought the play to the team. He's like she is just drawing up play after play.
How many crinkled up pieces of paper are there on his passenger side floor?
I thought she would stop by now. She's drawing. Guys, can you look at this play for God's sakes to get her to stop?
It's a classic trade-off. Now he's writing a few lyrics. He's like, I got something for your next album. You got to fight. For your right to party. She's like, that's already been done. I can't use that. He's like, that's really been done? He's like, I thought I made that up at the parade. Like, no, we can't do that.
She's like,
maybe she's writing it out. Is she having fun with the guys? Is she hanging out, having a good time? Sure. Is she writing up plays?
Maybe. No. Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe.
But can you imagine being on...
Last year peaked at the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't get any higher
than
that.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. Big, what a game.
Let me hear you say,
So you're not doing enough Master P your Eras tour.
I got a new one.
Yeah?
Yeah, he just keeps rolling with from Beastie Boys to Master P. He could go, more of the Cash Money Millionaires.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. Who was Master P?
No Limit Soldiers.
No Limit. Thank you. Not a Cash Money Millionaire. He was a No Limit Soldier.
Also one of the greatest MTV Cribs of all time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to me, it was the first time. Subsequently, they all had elevators, but the first time I saw an elevator in a house was Master P's.
I wish I knew the name of the color, but it's, he had one of those cars that had changed color as you looked at different angles.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what color paint you call that, but it was pretty wild. There you go.
It was sick. No, I remember that. Yeah, you drive by, you're like, oh, look at that purple car. Like, hey, it's not purple. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess it's not.
He had a basketball court?
Yeah, he was like a real good basketball player.
No, he was a good
CBA,
basketball player.
Did he? I think so.
Huh.
I think he had like a tryout with the Hornets or something.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Well, didn't his son play at Southern
USC?
Cal? Yeah, but he was like friends with OJ Mayo. Like, I don't think he was like
It was like a recruiting tool. Yeah. It was like a Bronny James recruiting tool kind of thing going on there.
His son was Lil Troy?
Lil Romeo.
Lil Romeo was his son? Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
First, I do not remember the Lil Bow Wow Lil
First
Romeo.
In a long
Bow
line.
Bow Wow Lil Romeo.
Long
like right
line of
Tupac
Lils.
Biggie.
Yeah, exactly.
While Lils run around.
So, yeah, Travis, that's a good idea. That's a good theory. Travis Kelce, it's a trade-off.
I'll write a couple of your songs.
Quid pro quo.
Because at this point, neither would notice, right?
Do you think Taylor Swift is asking the other one for their opinion?
No,
you know what I mean? Like, do you think she's honestly going into a locker room of 53 dudes and guys, just had my heart broken. What do you got for me?
I bet they have plenty of
As
stuff,
opposed
though.
To them, it's like, guys, look, we're stuck on 3rd and 16. I don't know what you think. Taylor, what do you got?
I'm telling you, they both reached the peak that they're both bored, and then this way they trade off. Because at this point, too, Taylor Swift fans, if it was a whole song written by Travis Kelce, even if it was horrible, they would just like love the idea that it was a.
Yeah.
And then can you imagine being a defense that gave up a touchdown and then afterwards like Taylor Swift
that
called
was,
that.
That was the Taylor
she
Swift
drew,
play.
She drew that play up.
I'm
like, the hell?
What would you rather watch a Taylor Swift play or listen to a Travis Kelce song?
Yeah, I'm not listening to any of that. So I think it would probably be a play.
10 seconds long, boom, not this 3.5
what
minutes. Lineman song.
What if
like instrumental?
what if he wrote it but she's performing it? That's not too bad.
That
doesn't sound so bad.
No, because then we need her on the field taking the snap of the play.
That's a good point.
Playing balance.
Yeah.
Playing running back.
It's a good point.
Couple plays.
I think I want to hear the Kelce song.
I bet you probably will. I don't think we're that far off from this happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not bad.
Quid pro quo. Scratch my back, you scratch yours.
Andy Reid is obviously
other
for
way around.
It. Yeah. Travis Kelce almost punched Andy Reid out during the Super Bowl. He still plays. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care. Nick said this earlier, too. He's like, they're naming plays Corn Dog. They're so good, they're bored over there. They're
legit
like,
bored on offense.
Give us a few plays, Taylor. We're fine.
Crazy.
So there you go. That was Greg not looking forward to Thursday night, I guess. Taylor Swift ruining the NFL season. I'll watch.
Does she go to every single game, though? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Because like Simone,
she was last year.
Simone Biles' husband plays for the Bears.
Yep,
and like she's the biggest thing in the world for 2 weeks every 4 years.
Yep,
but like you won't even see her. They won't even like probably talk about it.
Right,
it's weird.
He skipped out on training camp for a couple of weeks to go there.
Yeah, I watched some of the Hard Knocks. I was like, I didn't watch it, then I started to watch it, and they talked about that. He's like FaceTiming her when she was over there.
Is she still touring right now? I feel like she is
touring.
Talking
Simone Biles?
Simone
Biles does the bounce beat in all these cities.
Simone Biles, though, is doing something at the Garden. They always do like that post.
They will do that.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm sorry. You were asking about Taylor Swift and the games in Kansas City, but is she still touring? I thought she was still touring in Europe.
Yeah, but then remember, like, they're like, well, she could still make it in time. Or, like, she shows up at midnight.
Right.
She, like,
she had some shows that had a threat. There was a
oh my god! Right.
So I don't know if that put like a halt to everything, or at least just those shows.
Yeah. So where's she at, and will she be at the game, and will it be more? And it can't be more
She's
in your face
in
than last
Miami,
year.
Miami, October 18th. She might be off now.
Okay.
They'll probably zoom her in, and they'll show her watching the game via Zoom, just so they can be like, "Hey, see, she's here, folks.
She's here. She's watching.
You guys tuned in for her. Here she is.
She's sending Instagram messages, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go, misleading each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. 617-779-7937. We have Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He's going to join us at 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Patriots and the Bengals going into week one. We'll get back to the quarterback plan. Does it make sense now that Mayo has spoke about it at length? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.